Today is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. Our readings from Scripture are from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, Psalm 62, and the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Today's message is titled, Sackcloth and Ash. Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from the evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Here ends our reading from Jonah, Psalm 62, for the director of music, for Judatha, a psalm of David. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Selah. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Selah. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods, though your riches increase. Do not set your hearts on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Here ends Psalm 62, the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here ends our reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That is again the Gelasium Sacramentary, one of the oldest known liturgical books of the early church. We worship the God of wonders. The sacred scriptures are full of wonders the Lord has worked. Wonders beyond our ability to explain. Wonders that science says can't happen, didn't happen. A virgin will give birth to a son. After 3 days, rise again. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Go out in the morning and collect just enough for the day. What is it? Manna. March around Jericho 7 times on the 7th day. Blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls will fall down. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Imagine that, trying to run away from the Lord. Could you imagine trying to run for the Lord God? I mean, Jonah thought he could run away from the Lord God. You know the events. A storm rises, a great storm rises, and Jonah's the cause of the storm. Jonah 1, verse 12, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Eventually, they did throw Jonah overboard, and this is what happened. The storm calmed, and also this happened. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. The Lord provided. The Lord provided. What? A fish to swallow Jonah. Yeah, it's still the Lord provided. And this is an important moment, an important fact of history here in Jonah. For almost 800 years later, this is what Jesus would say. It's written in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, beginning of verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. Jesus answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. Jonah is more than a mere story. Jonah is a man who tried to run away from God, wanted to avoid the task the Lord God gave him, go to Nineveh and preach. And through that, all of that, as a result, Jonah is now, he's become a sign of Jesus. A sign on how to recognize Jesus. And as Jonah's preaching brought about repentance in the hearts of the people of Nineveh, Jesus says, now one greater than Jonah is here. More on that a little later. From inside the fish, Jonah prays, beginning Jonah 2, chapter 2, beginning verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. Now, chapter 2, verse 7. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Jonah was aware his life was ebbing away, and the Lord came to the forefront of his mind. Remember the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Lift up prayer to the Lord. Rising prayer to the heights of heaven, to the holy temple of the Lord, into the very presence of the living God. When you are in your deepest hurts, remember the Lord. Remember and lift up prayer. Lift it up to the highest heaven. Jonah 2, beginning of verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And this is what happened next. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. Worthless idols, or salvation that comes from the Lord. Cling to your idols. Forfeit the grace that could be yours. Turn to the salvation that comes from the Lord. Oh, that grace that comes from the Lord. It's yours in salvation. It is so good, so wonderful. It's life transforming. In a manner, you can say Jonah came to his senses in the belly of the fish. And in the meantime, that fish traveled a great distance from where Jonah was running away to the shores where Jonah was supposed to be in the first place. On a shore near Nineveh, the fish vomits Jonah out onto the dry land. And there the word of the Lord comes again. Jonah chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. After that experience in the fish, this time Jonah doesn't hesitate. Now immediately he responds in obedience and he goes to Nineveh. Nineveh, one of the oldest cities in Assyria. At different times it was the capital of Assyria. At one time its wall was 7.5 miles around and it enclosed about 1,600 acres. Sennacherib, he enlarged the city even more to having 15 gates. Population at least 120,000 or so, because it's written, the Lord speaking to Jonah. And this is Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and how many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about their great city? And that's because Jonah was crying over his vine that was shading him and is now wilted away. And God says, you're concerned about the vine? What about the city and all these people who don't know their right hand from their left hand? In other words, they don't know right from wrong. They don't know good from evil. And not knowing this difference of right and wrong, left and right, good and evil, results in wickedness in this city. What does it matter what one does? And so the Lord sends Jonah to preach to the people about right and wrong, good and evil. For good or evil, it does matter. It matters in the eyes of the Lord. For the people then, and for all who may hear of this event through the years, Nineveh has now become an example of wickedness, responding to preaching with repentance, receiving a reprieve, and then falling back into its wickedness. And it is utterly destroyed. And you can learn of that in the book of Nahum, which concludes with these words concerning Nineveh. For who has not felt your endless cruelty? Or another translation writes this, For on whom has not your evil passed continuously? So eventually Nineveh falls back into its evil ways, and it's known for cruelty, continuous evil. We live in a time that right and wrong have basically gone bonkers. What message would Jonah be bringing to our times these days, say, concerning age-appropriate books in schools? Just as websites are monitored to be an age-appropriate and blocked when not appropriate, what is written in these books, the activity described in these books, if it were on a website, that website would be blocked. We've gone bonkers, not knowing right from left, left from right, right or wrong. Or men and women sports. I mean, we're using preferred pronouns, intentionally glosses over, obscuring true facts, and it muddles the mess even more. Try to be a Jonah sent by God into that minefield. Just this past week, a man won a woman's golf tournament in Florida. This win gives this man one of the five spots on the prestigious tour aimed at growth opportunities for female golfers. What do you say to the woman who lost this coveted and prestigious opportunity because of this man? What words would Jonah say? We don't know our left hand from our right hand. We don't know right from wrong. What would Jonah's message be? Jonah's message, he was sent to preach in Nineveh, and it was a blunt message full of judgment. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. I mean, basically, 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Did the Ninevites respond as many respond these days? Don't be so judgmental. Is it judgmental to proclaim the truths of God concerning sin, wickedness, evil, as the sacred scriptures declare from the prophets? Not proclaiming the things of God, not proclaiming these things, it takes away the opportunity for a heart, a soul, to repent. And then find that comfort and peace in the grace of God. And experience the salvation that is from God alone. David writes in Psalm 62, beginning at verse 5, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to Him. For God is our refuge. Selah. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath." Jonah was sent to decry the wickedness in Nineveh and warn of the coming judgment. Nahum chapter 3 has a description of Nineveh a short time after their repentance written about in Jonah. And short time, it's about 150 years, but that's just giving an idea. So this is Nahum 3, about 150 years after Jonah's time, beginning at verse 1. "Woe to the city of blood." This is the description of Nineveh now. "Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims, the crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords and glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses, all because of the wanton lust of a harlot alluring the mistress of sorceries who enslaved nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft." That's Nahum writing of Nineveh 150 years or so after Jonah, and repeating the behavior that was from before Jonah when preaching to them. Repeating behavior from before to after, it's a usual reality. Oftentimes, that after behavior delves even deeper into depravity. And whatever the specific wickedness at Jonah's time was enough to God to say, "Its wickedness has come up before me," meaning the cup was full and the city is put on notice by Jonah. 40 days and the city will be overthrown. The wickedness became so great. Time of Nahum, the city was overthrown. Now in Jonah's time, Jonah's preaching, 40 days, the city will be overthrown. This message disturbed the people. It disturbed them so much, this judgmental message. It disturbed them so much. Believing the message became believing in the one who sent the message. Who is this Jonah? Where is he from? Who does he speak for? Who does he represent? I represent the God of all things. He comes from Israel, where that temple is. Oh my, what shall we do? Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Sackcloth and dust, ashes, sitting in the ashes. These are signs of repentance. It's mourning, signs of mourning. And this mourning is specifically mourning for the behavior they had done. Not only do they speaking words of repentance, they are doing symbolic actions of repentance. They are mourning over what they had done. And everyone in Nineveh, from the royal palace to the peasant in the street, responded with repentance. Even put sackcloth on the animals. And they forced the animals to fast too. Jonah 3, beginning of verse 7. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, that's the king. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat it or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Call upon God with much anguish. Everyone, right now, plead with God. And this is important, very important, very, very important. Not only plead with God, follow it up with, and give up their evil ways. Give up their violence. Change how they live life. In other words, repent. Repent and call upon God. Be different people. God may relent and with compassion turn. With anguish, plead before the Lord God. A very good description of the emotion in a repentant person. Anguish, pleading before God. Because of the words of Jonah, those judgmental words, the people heard and responded. They knew their ways were evil ways, and their evil and violence, it must be given up, turning towards God and the God of compassion. The God of compassion, counting on God's compassion so as not to perish. Please learn, please hear. God's compassion is what sent Jonah with the warning. Sent Jonah with those judgmental words. Yes, judgmental words are words of compassion. They are loving kindness, expressing the will of God. They're words by offering grace to a world that has gone bonkers. Not knowing right from wrong. Not knowing the left hand from the right hand. The words you speak are compassion from God. That they may repent. Nineveh repented. And God relented with a reprieve. Matthew 12, again, this is Jesus, Son of God, the Christ, saying this about Nineveh. The men of Nineveh will stand up at judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. What is the message from the one greater than Jonah? What is the message Jesus Christ Son of God gives? Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. John the Baptist has done what he was sent to do, prepare the way. Now Jesus begins the years of public ministry, and he begins it with this. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, how to express in English the richness of the description that is there in the Greek? So consider this. Remember your engagement to be married. Remember when you're getting engaged to be married. Remember those moments of togetherness, that growing closer that was before that time, and that was enjoying each other's company, and that time, togetherness, enjoying each other's company, all the ups and downs of being together, and it felt like it was building up and building up and building up, and now is the moment. Now is, will he propose? It's building up to that. That fullness is coming here. It's either propose or it's built up to that point. The time has now come. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe. The time is built up to that point. It's been building up to this point. The moment has now arrived. The moment, that building up the moment of the Greek is here. The time has been flowing in all of human history. And that time has been flowing to this moment. The imminence. That means the presence, the nearness, the actual presence of the kingdom of God. The presence of the kingdom of God as the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the incarnation bringing very God of very God, flesh and bone. This man preaching is very God of very God, proclaiming the heart of God with these words. Repent and believe. Why? The imminence of the kingdom of God. The very presence of the kingdom of God. Repent and believe. Because the imminence is, the kingdom is here. Respond. Take action. Don't ignore the moment, nor ignore the words. As Jonah went through Nineveh, now is the time to hear. Now is the time to respond. Jesus brings these words. What will you do? Will you repent? Repent literally means to change mind. And it's not simply to think differently. Change the mind means to change the inner man. The inner you from your will be done to thy will be done. That is the will of God be done. That's the change that is to take place in you. Think differently. Not your will, but God's will. And this think differently afterwards, because you are differently inwardly, down deep, all the way deep into your soul. And this difference is expressed by believe. Placing your faith, your trust in the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel that Jesus proclaims. Think on this. The gospel, the good news, includes the entirety of the Bible, the entirety of the sacred scriptures, the book of Moses, the law, the prophets, the entirety of the human history written there in the sacred scripture. For it is through what is written we come to know. As it's written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. So let's put Jonah and Jesus next to each other, and just Jonah disobedient, asleep in a storm on a boat. Thrown overboard, the storm calms. 3 days in the belly of a fish, obedient, prophet to the Jews, now preaches to the Gentiles. Jesus, obedient, asleep in a storm on a boat. Calms the storm with a word. 3 days in the heart of the earth. That's 3 days in the tomb. Gospel message for the Jews, and then to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth, as the apostles who are being chosen, Matthew, you know, all the ones being chosen to the ends of the earth. They will carry the good news. Sackcloth and ash, actions to represent a true, deep repentance. Remember when you were a kid and you're arguing with one of your friends and a parent comes up and says, "Say you're sorry. I'm sorry." That's not enough. Shake hands. Hug. You remember those things? I mean, just saying "I'm sorry" was not enough. You had to follow it up with some action. You need to follow through with an action. Those words "I'm sorry," they needed to be followed by an action. Shake hands and make up. The action. The action of being sorry. Sackcloth, ash, sitting in the dust is the depth of repentance that opens the way. It opens the way to believing. As seeing yourself as you truly are, a sinner, needing salvation that only God can provide. Do you really see yourself as that sinner needing salvation that only the Lord God can provide? As David writes in Psalm 62, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Jesus died on the cross to pay the redeeming price in full. Not simply so one can say, "I'm sorry" to God. No, not that at all. Rather, to be transformed through and through, all the way down to the deepest part of your soul. Christ regarded you as helpless and shed your blood. He shed His blood for your soul. The Church of Jesus Christ is not about 7 steps to be a better husband, be a better wife, be a better person, be a better this. The Church of Jesus Christ is not about to be a better person. The Church of Jesus Christ is about proclaiming the truth of God so that one will repent and believe and be made fit for heaven. The apostles were called to be fishers of men, so as to be witnesses preaching the good news to change hearts, to change souls, to change lives for all eternity. Jesus died to save your soul. Not to make you a better person, but to save your soul. Sackcloth and ash in the dust. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Because when it reaches all the way deep down, God's grace and compassion reaches all down, you will then come to know, it is well with my soul. It is eternally well with my soul. Because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, who shed His blood for you, it is eternally well with your soul. Repent and believe. Amen and amen.